Penguin Random House Audio presents Scourged by Kevin Hearn. Read for you by Luke Daniels.
The story so far. Atticus O'Sullivan, born in 83 BCE as Sheehan O'Sullivan, has spent much of his long life as a druid on the run from Angus Og, one of the Tuatha De Danann. Angus Og seeks the return of Fragora, a magical sword that Atticus stole in the 2nd century, and the fact that Atticus has learned how to keep himself young and won't simply die annoys the heck out of Angus Og. When Angus Og finds Atticus hiding in Tempe, Arizona, Atticus makes the fateful decision to fight instead of run, unwittingly setting off a chain of consequences that snowball on him despite his efforts to lie low. In Hounded, he gains an apprentice, Granuel McTiernan, retrieves a necklace that serves as a focus for Laksha Kulasekaran, an Indian witch, and discovers that his cold iron aura is proof against hellfire. He defeats Angus Og with an assist from the Morrigan, Briot, and a local pack of werewolves. However, he also severely cripples a witch's coven that wasn't exactly benevolent, but was protecting the Phoenix metro area from more menacing groups of predators. Hexed, Book 2, forces Atticus to deal with that, as a rival and much more deadly coven tries to take over the territory of the Sisters of the Three Auroras, and a group of Bakkens tries to establish a foothold in Scottsdale. Atticus cuts deals with Laksha Kulasekaran and Leif Helgerson, a vampire, to earn their help and rid the city of the threats. In Book 3, Hammered, the bills come due for those deals. Both Laksha and Leif want Atticus to go to Asgard and beard the Norse in their mead halls. Putting together a team of badasses, Atticus raids Asgard twice, despite warnings from the Morrigan and Jesus Christ that this would be a terrible idea, and it might be best not to keep his word. The carnage is epic, with heavy losses among the Aesir, including the Norns, Thor, and a crippled Odin. The death of the Norns, an aspect of fate, means the old prophecies regarding Ragnarok are now unchained, and Hel can begin to work with very little opposition from the Aesir. However, a strange coincidence with the Finnish hero Väinämöinen reminds Atticus of a different prophecy, one spoken by the sirens to Odysseus long ago, and he worries that 13 years hence the world will burn, perhaps in some altered form of Ragnarok. Feeling the heat for his shenanigans and needing time to train his apprentice, Atticus fakes his own death with the help of Coyote in Book 4, Tricked. Hel does indeed make an appearance, thinking Atticus might like to join her on the dark side since he has killed so many Aesir, but she is brutally rebuffed. Atticus is betrayed by Leif Helgerson and narrowly escapes death at the hands of an ancient vampire named Zdenek, but ends the book with a modicum of assurance that he will be able to train Granuel in anonymity. In the novella Two Ravens and One Crow, Odin awakens from his long sleep and forges a truce of sorts with Atticus, enlisting the druid to take on Thor's role in Ragnarok, should it come to pass, and perhaps take care of another few things along the way. After 12 years of training, Granuel is ready to be bound to the earth. But in Book 5, Trapped, it seems as if the druid's enemies have been waiting for him to emerge. Atticus must deal with vampires, dark elves, fairies, and the Roman god Bacchus. And messing with one of the Olympians draws the attention of one of the world's oldest and most powerful pantheons. Once Granuel is a full druid, Atticus must run across Europe to avoid the bows of Diana and Artemis, who took exception to his treatment of Bacchus and the dryads of Olympus in Book 5. The Morrigan sacrifices herself to give Atticus a head start, and he is hunted in Book 6. Running and fighting his way past a coordinated attempt to bring him down, he makes it to England, where he can enlist the help of Hearn the Hunter and Flitish, the Irish goddess of the hunt. There he's able to defeat the Olympians and negotiate a fragile alliance against Hel and Loki. At the end of this volume, he discovers that his arch-druid was frozen in time in Tir na n'Og, and when he retrieves him, his old mentor is in as foul a mood as ever. In Shattered, Book 7, arch-druid Owen Kennedy finds a place among the Tempe Pack and assists Atticus and Granuaile in thwarting a coup attempt in Tir na n'Og against Briett. Granuaile is sorely tested by Loki in India and is forever changed. And an emissary of the ancient vampire Theophilus strikes down one of Atticus's oldest friends. In the novella A Prelude to War, Atticus consults a tyromancer in Ethiopia to discover how best to strike back at the vampires, while Granuaile meets Loki for the second time. But this time, she's the one laying the ambush. Anxious to defeat Theophilus once and for all, Atticus teams up with Leif Helgerson to make sure the ancient evil is staked in Book 8. Granuaile learns that Loki is making deals with dark powers around the world and is consulting an unusual seer about when to begin Ragnarok. She teams up with Perun to defeat an old foe of his and deny Loki his foresight. Owen starts a new druid's grove in Flagstaff, receives a magical pair of brass knuckles from Quenya, and has a distressing encounter with a troll that goes poorly for both of them. The Treaty of Rome is established, wherein vampires agree to evacuate Poland and North America west of the Rocky Mountains. After the events of Staked, Oberon and Atticus solve a couple of mysteries in and around Portland, detailed in the purloined poodle and a squirrel on a train, known together as Oberon's Meaty Mysteries. They befriend a man named Ernest Goggins Smite, who winds up looking after the hounds while Atticus and Granuaile are out of town. And they also adopt a new doggy as a result of the investigations, a Boston Terrier named Starbuck. In Besieged, a collection of Iron Druid stories, we learn of several events that bear directly on the story to come. Flitish makes a woeful mistake by taking Pirun to a cuddle dungeon in Edinburgh. Granuaile must enforce the Treaty of Rome against some rogue vampires in Krakow, led by Kacper Gwova. The druids are called to Tasmania to save Tasmanian devils from extinction, and Owen's Grove participates. And Atticus learns from the Morrigan that Loki is about to begin Ragnarok, prompting him to tell Oberon the story of what happened to his wolverine companion centuries ago. Also, along the way, there may have been some talk of poodles and sausages.
Chapter 1. I had a cup of wine with Galileo once. He remains one of the greatest examples of human genius I've ever seen over my 21 centuries of life, and one of the bravest. Think of the giant, hairy stones he must have had to stand up to the Catholic Church back when they routinely toppled monarchs and killed people for the glory of their God. Who let me buy him a shot of whiskey in Arizona once, by the way, and who did not feel particularly glorified by any murders, let alone the ones committed in his name? To look at the whole of Christendom and call bullshit on their geocentrism despite their threats took some iron guts. And he didn't give a damn that nobody wanted to believe him at first. "I have math," he told me over the rim of his cup. He gestured to it as he spoke. "And the numbers are like this fine vintage we are enjoying. Verifiable, observable, existing independent of us, and caring not one whit about human faith." Stellar guy, that Galileo. Ha! My puns remain execrable, alas. Eventually, the church had to admit that Galileo was right, and admit also, long after his death, that his life and work had been a fulcrum on which the world pivoted. The flourishing of the sciences that used his methods brought many wonders to humanity. Many evils, too. I am beginning to wonder now if I might not also be such a fulcrum for good and evil, even if I've labored to remain anonymous. I have endeavored for much of my long life to keep myself out of histories, all the while putting more and more history behind me. For much of my 2000...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?